don't recall now how the topic of age even came up, but somehow or another it did, and her mother noted that she was 60. And my response, "You don't look 60." Well, her mother fixed me with a rather decisive glare and replied, "This is what 60 looks like." Ouch. I've not forgotten this in the nearly 40 years that have elapsed since, and I tell it with quite a bit of chagrin even now. It wasn't my best moment, by far. Since you might have not heard of either of the two prophetic women whose work gave rise to this sermon, a couple of brief introductions are in order. Ashton Applewhite is an author, a blogger, primarily a social activist, who is recognized for her work around ageism. Joanne Jenkins is the CEO of AARP and has been past president of the AARP Foundation. When it comes to talking about ageism, both these women definitely have their street cred. So, for starters, what's ageism? Paper problems here. Well, my heedless comment was ageism, pure and simple. Unconscious, implicit, hardly malicious, but ageism nonetheless. Ageism is the mainstream narrative that equates aging with decline. As Joanne Jenkins writes in her book, Disrupt Aging, the dominant view of cultural aging as a process of deterioration, dependency, reduced potential, family dispersal, and digital incompetence. Yeah, I have to say I appreciated that last one. The flip side of the decline narrative is our cultural obsession with an active retirement. Depictions of older persons tend toward the extremes. Now, on the one hand, we've got the handsome, buff, tanned, white-haired guy surfing a shimmering blue wave. He's the icon of marketers. On the other hand, there's the tiny woman withering in the hospital bed, the darling of the medical-industrial aging complex. Why, by the way, is the surfer dude always male and the withering person in the bed always female? That's a different sermon. May get there eventually. Ageism is embodied in our cultural language, and some of it's obvious. You know, old geezer, little old lady, cougar. It lurks more subtly, though, in ways of talking about older people that may seem more benevolent initially. Senior citizen, the elderly, elders. We use the word retiree a lot. Think about this one. The problem with retiree is that it defines a group of people by what they are not doing. That is to say, working at a full-time paying job. It completely disregards all the various things that people are doing at this stage of their lives. It's the kind of reverse of what Karen described in the with the label of stay-at-home mom. And most stay-at-home moms I know are doing a whole lot besides sitting at home. And the retiree thing is kind of the same thing. All of these ways, even the most benevolent ones, are discriminatory because they lump all older people together instead of recognizing our individuality, who we are as individuals, no matter what our age. And it fails to recognize, in a very basic way, the unique inherent worth and dignity of each and every person. Ageism is cultural. It's how we in this youth-centric culture view aging and older people. It's internalized when we buy into the cultural stereotypes and they become a part of how we see the world and our place in it. It is systemic, the laws and the institutions that function to perpetuate the cultural stereotypes. In what I think is a really good summary, geriatrician Robert Butler coined the term ageism in 1969, which, and this is interesting, it was the same year that the word sexism came into our language. He described it as a combination of prejudicial attitudes toward older people, old age, and aging itself, discriminatory practices against older people, and institutional practices and policies that perpetuate stereotypes about them. It's a pretty good summary. Ageism comes with a whole host of effects, none of them positive. Those of you who have heard me preach before know that I typically wear a pulpit robe. I have several reasons for this, the most general of them being that as women, we're frequently judged by what we wear, or put differently, what I happen to be wearing may distract from what I'm saying. I do know what I'm doing here. It does may not look like it. Okay. I bought this dress, by the way, for my elder grandson's graduation from high school this past May. Because I liked it, and because I wanted something different than I usually wear, and because its combination of simple style and a riot of flowers simply makes me happy. But I still worry a little bit about maybe it isn't age appropriate because of its length. I knew I had a lot of internalized ageism, but in the research that I did for this sermon came with a whole lot too many oh yeah moments for me. There is, Applewhite says boldly, no such thing as age appropriate. Now, this gets a little more serious here. Condescension shortens lives. Let me say that again. Condescension shortens lives. Here's the research, at least some of it. Quote, condescension alone actually shortens lives. It reinforces stereotypes of incapacity and incompetence, which leads to poorer health, including shorter lifespans. People with positive perceptions of aging live 7.5 years longer on average than those whose perceptions are more negative. That's more difference than exercise or quitting smoking makes. When we use simpler words and phrases, or speak more slowly or more loudly than we would do with a younger person, it causes people to seem to age instantly, moving and thinking less capably. Internalized stereotypes become self-fulfilling prophecies. Another little interesting piece of research. Social scientists primed a group of college students with negative age stereotypes by having them unscramble sentences that included words like forgetful, Florida, and bingo. Afterwards, the students were observed walking to the elevator measurably more slowly than the control group. Ageism also leads to depicting aging as a disease. I read a recent Wall Street Journal opinion essay in which the columnist stated that we will eventually be able to treat the chronic disease of aging, his term, like we can now treat other chronic conditions. Chronic disease of aging? Huh? Aging is not a disease. Ageism, however, is a profound dis-ease in our culture. The vast majority of us will experience some physical decline with age, But poor health and debility does not necessarily follow. When we attribute decline to age rather than to its immediate proximate causes, we perpetuate the negative stereotype of older people as frail, debilitated, and incompetent. There are changes, of course, that reflect normal aging. Our ageist society pathologizes these typical transitions, and then the consumer society jumps in to sell us things to fix them. Lotions and potions that supposedly fight wrinkles and other imperfections. Ways to color our hair, plastic surgery, various sorts of things injected, which aren't bad in themselves. I'm not knocking this. If they help us to feel good about ourselves, then go for it. But they contribute to the rejection of aging and its markers. I've recently been thinking about going back to shorter hair, which, by the way, I've decided I'm not doing, at least not right now. But I've come across several internet sites featuring the top 20 short haircuts for women over 50. Seriously, I'm not making this stuff up. I couldn't make this stuff up. I've not seen one, not one, directed at women under 30. Oh, wait. No, those are the sites that aren't explicitly identified as being for those of us over 50. Those are the ones for normal people. Never mind. Moving right along. So what are we going to do about this? We can and perhaps must begin with ourselves. We can check our own attitudes and self-talk. I've already admitted to my tendency to look at things as being appropriate or not based on my age, at least not directly. I also tend to blame things on age that are not in any one-to-one sense attributable to age. I can't get the lid off the darn pickle jar. Not because I'm old, but because I have bad arthritis in my thumbs. Now, granted, those two things may very well be linked, but nevertheless, it's about calling the elephant, not something else. When I say I can't do this, whatever this is, anymore, and blame it on age, that's that ageist stereotype playing out in my head. We can also become mindful of negative reactions when we experience ourselves aging and respond differently, respond more gently. I can remember as a very small child being fascinated, just utterly fascinated by the crepey skin on my grandmother's forearms, how it kind of lay in soft wrinkles and how it kind of stood up a little bit if I pinched it. Why she tolerated me, I don't know, but she did. Well, now that I have my own crepey skin, not so fascinated. Can we adopt what Buddhism calls an attitude of friendly, gentle, detached curiosity? Can we just let it be? Some of us may choose to reclaim some of the language around aging, similarly to the way in which the LGBTQI community has reclaimed the word queer. I avoid euphemisms. I'm an old woman. I am old, period. End of it. I'm not one of the elderly, a senior citizen, or heaven forbid, a golden ager, which is a term that just makes my stomach feel unpleasant. We can also watch out for still language, STILL. Older people are not still driving, still going to the gym, still traveling, or heaven forbid, still having sex. They're simply doing these things, just like anyone else. Have you ever heard anybody say of a 30-year-old, she's still driving? Slicing and dicing on the fly here. We can also normalize the effects of aging by acknowledging that we have them, so that talking about them becomes commonplace and accepted, much like, you know, this has happened over the years, say with breast cancer, with gynecologic cancers. Used to be people didn't talk about these things, and they've become normal because they've entered into our national discourse. Now here's another good one. I came across an example of this actually just this morning. Newspaper stories specify age when it really doesn't make any difference for the story. There's a brief news item in Friday's Star Press that reported that a woman broke into a senior citizen's home and stole medication. A few paragraphs later, it noted that the 85-year-old woman lived in the same neighborhood as the alleged thief. The alleged thief's age, by the way, was never mentioned. By her picture, I would have judged her to be maybe 30-35. It didn't make any difference if the woman was 85 or 35. She was still out her medication and somebody had stolen it. Yeah. That was up front. I'm 72 going on 73. But Karen, what difference does it make when you've had that number? What shifts in your perceptions? Okay. Some people wouldn't have been able to answer that way. That little illustration was from Applewhite's book. Applewhite suggests when you're asked your age, tell the truth, then ask why it matters. Okay. We also need, though, to work on this on a systemic level. One example, and I did not know this until I came across it. The Department of Health and Human Services is in the process of putting forward a regulation on stabilization of the Affordable Care Act. One proposal is the regulation to change the ratio on how much more insurers can charge older people compared to younger people. Right now, right now insurers can charge older people who tend to have higher health costs 3 times as much in premiums. That's 3 times as much in premiums as they charge younger people. And they're looking to increase that ratio. In conclusion, ageism is a relegation of older people to second-class citizenship. It's cultural, it's internalized, it's systemic, and it has negative effects on every one of us. And I do mean every one of us, because if you're sitting there and you're in high school, it affects you too. Don't think it doesn't. And if it doesn't right this morning today, if you're fortunate, it will eventually. If you're fortunate to get old, because not everybody has that opportunity. It denies the mandate for justice and equality. It flies in the face of our affirmation of the equal worth and dignity of every individual. And it denies some individuals full participation in the web of life that enfolds us all. We can and we must fight back. Resist and disrupt in whatever ways we choose. May we work for a culture in which we affirm all people, no matter what their age. Thank you.